Welcome back to another episode of the Dream Big Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Schimmel. And maybe you've had an experience like our family's had recently where you're distracted, where something kind of takes over. Our family got exposed to COVID and our three kids had to stay home from school. They're still home. So what does our family look like right now? We're inside again, kind of like it was early days of the shutdown. Can't go anywhere, not supposed to do anything. And so all day long, kids are home. And the feelings of boredom, the kind of petty fights that our kids are getting into, squabbles all day long, man, gosh, it can feel like it's taking over everything. Circumstances, we all get distracted, right? We all get distracted, whether it's something going on with our health, or it's unresolved conflict in our family, or it's a problem at work. And maybe, just maybe, you're also the kind of person who gets distracted by the latest headline in the news. We've heard of Twitter, right? We have a guy on the show today, Paul Burns, who's an executive at Twitter. Can you imagine a platform that could be more distracting, potentially? The latest hot news, the latest pundit, the latest critique, the latest crisis, the latest scenario that's going to grab your attention. This guy understands all that and also has discovered a way to live a life of focus. Focus on identity. And I think you're going to love this conversation. Paul's an incredibly insightful, wise guy, very focused and centered. And with that, let me introduce you to the conversation today between Bob Goff and Paul Burns.
Hey, Paul, Bob. Good to see you. I get to talk to you. Nobody else gets to see you, but here we are talking. Tell us where you're at so everybody knows where in Canada you're located.
Yeah, I'm in Toronto, Canada right now.
But you're also kind of everywhere at once.
Yeah, all over the place. It's crazy, but it's good.
Tell us, for the people that haven't been introduced to you before, what's a week in your life at Twitter? Tell us what your role is there and what are you hoping to accomplish? And I want to talk about your family and how you're knitting life together. You're just such an interesting guy.
So I work at Twitter. I lead the team there. And, you know, you get a front row seat to what's happening in the world, what's going on in sports, but also what's going on in everything else. And so on one hand, that's like an incredible focus group for what matters to people and what they're thinking. But it can get pretty intense sometimes. And whether it's a presidential election, whether it's a vaccine campaign, whether it's who just got nominated for a Juno or an Oscar award, it's changing every second of every day. And that's partly why it's so exciting.
The thing that has always blown me away in our friendship is you are absolutely unflappable. So when you say, you know, whether it's a presidential election, like there's going to be a banner put on something and people are going to lose their minds or cheer, or there's no shortage of opinions. How do you process that? So I don't care if it's a stay-at-home mom stuck in traffic right now, just trying to figure out how to pull it together, or a CEO, capable woman, trying to figure out how do I pull it together, or a guy that's picking the groceries or bagging the groceries. How do you maintain a level keel with everything coming at you?
You know, we all get those feelings of maybe inadequacy, feelings of insecurity, feelings of maybe offense, or that we've been wronged somehow, or feelings that you're overwhelmed. You know, how do you process the weight and the gravity of some of these decisions? And so we all get those feelings, but we don't have to believe those feelings. And I think that's a choice we all get to make. Do we believe the feelings that we have? Do we believe that God is bigger than these moments? You know, I think the short answer is yes. And so, you know, our strength should not be in our circumstances. And that's, I think, one of the things that I've learned working here and being thrown into some of the most intense fire situations. You can't let your faith be altered by what's happening to you in the world around you. And circumstances shouldn't define you, but your faith totally should. And so I just try and candidly, when it gets tough and you've got some heavy decisions to make and, you know, you don't know what to do, I've just always returned to, you know, who am I? What do I believe? Why am I here? And that's always been my faith for me.
processing your emotions and your feelings is going to be different for each person. Some people are go out for a run. I've got a friend who cage fights. Like, that's crazy. They just need to let off some steam. And I guess everybody's willing. And so they get to let off some steam. Other people cross stitch. What do you do to give yourself that healthy, like where you can take a full deep breath and actually jump in? What is it that you do that helps?
For me, it's the first thing in the morning, my first thoughts of the day, my first waking moments when I get up out of bed in the morning. And there's something powerful, I think, in that first hour of the day. And most of the time, if the kids don't get up, it's a moment of reflection, of solitude, of writing, and really just trying to acknowledge, what am I feeling? What am I going through? What is happening inside my soul at the moment? And so for me, I get recharged when I can actually cave dive a bit into my soul and understand what's happening in there and why am I feeling the way I'm feeling. So for me, I think that's been a big way to just recalibrate and reprocess. And I think it's especially hard when we're in these set of in-between moments where you can't actually see where you came from. But you can't necessarily see the horizon that's just on the other side. You're kind of in that foggy middle place. And that's, for me, the scariest places, but also the places where there's the biggest opportunity, where you could get derailed if you're not careful, and you could get distracted if you're not careful. And, it's like the Egyptians, when they left Egypt and they were out of slavery and bondage, but they couldn't see the promised land yet. They were all looking back at Egypt and slavery and saying, hey, that looks actually pretty good. Yeah. Maybe we should head back there,
Yes, compared to where I am right now. But part of that is to have something to kind of triangulate, to compare this thing that's all consuming, whether, let's say there's somebody right now waiting for results from the bar exam. They gave 3 years, they wrote a big check to go to law school. They're wondering, am I admitted? Somebody else who's been in a relationship and they've circled that relationship for a long time. And now they're wondering, is this going somewhere or not? How do you tease out the different emotions that you're feeling so you're not feeling all of them at once? Because that said, they get batched. You just have a general feeling of anxiety. How do you actually tease that out so you know what it is, that here's the actual source of the Nile? Like, here's where that anxiety is flowing from.
Truthfully, I don't know that I even trust my feelings, maybe that's an unconventional answer, but I think we all get them. And some of those feelings are not good. And so I think in those moments where I'm trying to process, what am I feeling? What am I going through? How am I going to make it to that other side? I've always just gravitated to this idea of the I is single. I got to stay focused on who I am. I get back to the root of why I'm here, the identity of God in me and why I exist on this planet and why I get up in the morning every day. Yes, I may be an executive at Twitter. I may have a family that I'm trying to provide for and nurture and grow. And I may have a ton of friendships I'm trying to keep connected with. But at the end of the day, God sees me as a son. And I think when we get back to some of those basic principles, life is more simple than we sometimes make it out to be. And for me, it's always been a return to who am I? What do I believe? Why am I here? And keeping my eye single and focused and trying to not look to the left or the right. The Bible says, keep your eye single and your whole body will be filled with light. And so I think I'm trying to be very, very deliberate with what I'm letting in. Very, very, intentional with what I'm focused my attention on. And when you focus your attention on the good Father above, I think it allows feelings of insecurity, feelings that may pull you into distraction, pull you to the side of the road. It puts those into context. And I've just really found that it makes sense not to worry about those things. And it's good to process there, but just don't camp there is how I've thought about it.
Yeah. I want to hover over the idea of distraction for a second, because that is what guts us oftentimes. It makes us forget who we are. We're distracted from it because of somebody telling you that you're this person, even if you go like, wow, I wouldn't have self-identified to the good or to the bad. They can say like, you're a bad guy and say like, gosh, I just never had myself pegged as a bad guy. But obviously there's somebody that doesn't agree with who you are, what you're doing. Somebody else that gives you a lot of praise that says like, you're the bee's knees, whatever that is. I've never met a bee with knees, but to say, to not overemphasize that. I don't want to dwell in the praises of other people. I want to receive that and thank them and say like, wow, I'm just so honored that you think that. And then the criticism that comes our way to say, is there somewhere I can grow? Can I be, it would make sense as a fallible individual that I would let some people down, but I want to grow. I want to learn in the middle of that. Do you feel like in the crucible of all the whatever today's news is that is ends up on your desk, that how do you like kind of land one plane at a time on that runway rather than having all the planes land on that runway at once?
You can only do one day at a time. We've only got 24 hours in the day. And I wish we all wish we had more, but in some ways I'm glad we only have 24 hours. It's nice to begin a totally new day the next day. And so I think for me, you know, the thing that can distract many people, distracts me, is the opinions of others. I find maybe specifically on social media and Twitter, you know, people have a lot of big opinions about a lot of different things. And, you know, a lot of people are shouting, a lot of people are yelling, they're attacking. And I've just found that, you know, this idea of be still and know that I am God. How often are we actually just taking a moment to listen, to just breathe for a second and listen? And I mean, really listen to what other people are saying and trying to understand where they're coming from. Far too often, we're really trying to make sure that people hear us and that we're right. And oftentimes that can come across as just angry. And I don't know about you, but I've found that whatever anger is trying to accomplish, love will always do a better job. And so I've just tried to, you know, let opinions of others just, you know, water off the duck's back. And that's not an easy thing to learn. And I'm still learning that.
Yeah. Maybe intentionally, whatever circumstance somebody listening is in, to say, what if I just took it down a notch? Whatever is a notch for you. Can we just take, if it feels like the room is really loud, is there a way that I could just bring it down a notch and make the room louder? But what if I could bring a little hope and joy into the room, and knowing full well that people's harsh words oftentimes are born out of these other circumstances they find themselves in. It's oftentimes if you're dealing with somebody who's difficult, and I might be that person that you're dealing with, that it might be that you're actually dealing with a other problem that they're dealing with. So they have a lot of pent up something. You think you're talking to them, you're actually talking to their mother-in-law. You just don't realize you're talking to their employer who let them down, and they're being a little brief with you. And the reason that you're being short is that you're still processing a conversation you weren't part of, and they may be processing that too. And so maybe just a little grace. And maybe one thing that I've known about you for the longest time is you just speak well of people. You just, even if somebody's been difficult, I would say that's one of the characteristics. If I was describing you to someone else, I'd say he was a guy that just speaks well of people. It's not like you're blowing sunshine in everybody's directions. You just speak well of people, and you've got lots of experience in relationships and opportunities to not. You could say, what a jerk. I've never heard you say that, even though I'm sure that maybe talking to me, you thought like that, but you just speak well. Tell us about that. Was that just how you came from the factory, or is that a learned response from you?
When I was 5 years old, my grandparents bought me a drum set for my birthday, and not like a toy drum set. You know, it was like a size large, massive drum set. My feet couldn't even touch the pedals, the cymbals. I couldn't even reach them. And I remember sitting there in that moment and realizing, wow, I couldn't play at all, but they actually believe that I could be a drummer. They actually believed that I had that potential. And I think in many ways, that's the way God sees us. You know, he sees the potential in us. He sees this unbelievable, fully realized human being that is just on the cusp of realizing that. And so as I'm leading teams, as I'm engaged with people, I'm trying to just constantly think of them as just like, they are just totally full of potential. And maybe they don't even see it in themselves yet. They've just got unbelievable power that my job just becomes, how do I help them see that? So I just get excited by the potential of people. And I get excited when you give them a little nudge, a little dose of encouragement, you start to see people. It's like a kickstart. It gets their souls' engines turned over and they start, you know, living into the possibility that maybe they didn't see themselves before. So I don't know. I just feel like that's how God sees us. He sees us not as a collection of our past mistakes or our missteps. He sees us as this unbelievable, power-packed human being full of potential. And he just wants us to live into that. And I think we're called to see people the same way he sees us. So that's kind of how I thought about it.
One of the things that people can't escape if they talk to you for just a little bit, and I'm just so delighted that people listening get to be exposed to you, is that you love God. And you're also leading a really big organization, filled wonderfully so with so many people, with so many different vantage points on faith. Some are all the above, some are none of the above, some are who knows. Like, yet you, in all my experience with you, our many conversations, you don't seem to have an agenda for people. Your agenda is to love people, serve people. You've got an agenda for yourself. You just aren't telling people what they ought to believe or what they ought to think. Tell us about that. How do you navigate in the workplace having a profound and deep faith, yet you also navigate so well with people to say the table is really big. There's room for everybody here.
Well, even when you think about this idea of inclusion and diversity, you know, our faith should be a part of that. And so at Twitter, you know, we've started this thing called Twitter Faith. And it may sound weird to say that, but I used to be terrified of talking about faith at work. I used to be worried that people would have a ton of opinions of me when I started, that I'm going to get on a pulpit and start preaching, you know. And I think Twitter Faith is really about, you know, normalizing this big part of your life in the workplace. You should feel comfortable talking about it. Doesn't mean everyone has to listen, but you should feel included in the way you think and talk about your faith. And so what we do is we get together as a group of believers inside a big organization that, you know, is dealing with a lot of heavy stuff, a lot of big political movements around the world. Instead of complaining about what they're doing, let's get together and maybe pray for them. Let's actually get our leaders on our hearts and start thinking about how we could actually be a force for good about them, for them in the world, and how we could begin to think about, you know, ways to actually bring joy and love into people's hearts. And I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. And sometimes faith gets so complicated and we tend to, you know, major on these minor things. And I just think faith is, and you do this so well, Bob, it's about loving people and loving God at the core of what we're trying to do. And I think I'm just trying to do that as a leader. I'm trying to do that at work. I'm trying to do that with my people, and I'm not trying to get them to believe anything, but if they're interested, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm just trying to be comfortable with that and not make it a weird thing, not make a home version of me and a work version of me. There's just me. And I suppose I wasn't always like that, but I suppose that's a journey we all go on to get really comfortable with just talking about what drives you and what fuels your heart. And for me, it's faith.
I think this is going to really encourage people of every stripe, but particularly people in the marketplace and in the business. They probably, their first thought wasn't that there's a thing called Twitter faith, that is people getting just real about what they believe, but not saying, I've got all the answers for you. It's saying, I'm pursuing all the questions for me. And so it's a small but important twist to make people feel put upon to say, you should think what I think, or to say, hey, I'm just trying to explore the things that I believe to be true, I'm trying to understand more fully what I believe, why I believe it, and most importantly, what I'm going to do about it. And what I'm going to do is love people without an agenda. I'm just going to show up. But most people don't find the courage to articulate that. That's why I was like itching to say, oh, world, you've got to meet Paul.
You know what? Faith can be such a topic laced with conflict. And I find that when you make it, when you normalize the conversation around it and allow and give people permission to have conversations about it, curiosity can be the best antidote to conflict. And when we're actually able to just be curious about why do people believe what they believe? How did they arrive at those opinions? Deeply curious, genuinely interested in how they shape their view of the world. It, for me, opens up some of the richest conversations I've ever had. And I think at that moment, you stop yelling and forcing your opinion on people and you actually start listening and having a real conversation. And it's pretty powerful.
Tell me about your transition between work stuff and home stuff. I don't think you compartmentalize, but I think you navigate. And I think a lot of us could benefit from hearing how you, I know you take walks. We've teased each other over the years about like a walk you'll take, a photograph you'll take. Tell us about Paul when he's at home. He's not a guy leading Twitter.
Yeah. So I have a family at home. You may be able to hear them in the background.
Wonderfully. I love that.
Yeah.
Turn that up. Sure.
It's chaos. I have a special needs son at home. And you know, two boys and a wife, and we're trying to just do life together, process all the heartbreak and the pain and the joy and the happiness one day at a time. You know, I think what it means to be at home is to, you're on a mission field in your home. And I've thought about that all the time, that I don't need to go, across the world. I can actually just go to my living room and, my role as a father, how can I role model what it means to treat my wife? How do I show my sons what it means to love in a house? How do I create a loving environment where they are totally okay to say what's on their hearts and on their minds? And we're going to listen and we're going to have a great conversation about it. We're going to challenge them, but we're also going to just be great stewards of what God has called us to be in the house. And so me in the home is no different than me at work. But I think really what it means at home is just getting used to the chaos, embracing the chaos a little bit, and just letting people really see that we're not so bent out of shape when things don't go the perfect way. And we've been in close proximity as a family unit, as so of many other people for the last year and a half. And I think you get to really know your family in a different kind of way. People who can make it out of this, I think are, you know, called to a higher purpose. And I think what we've just tried to do is just stay focused on loving each other and lifting each other up. I'm going for runs in the morning with my son right now. And you know what I do on these runs? I don't say a word. I let him pick the pace. I let him talk about what he wants to talk about. And I just listen. And I think what I'm slowly learning in this process, we do quite a long run, you know, run for about 45 minutes to an hour. And he's talking the whole time and I'm just listening and I'm panting and not able to make it, but
I'd be wheezing after 45.
But what it's doing, I just feel like for me, it's changing my perception of how God thinks about us. And sometimes God's just there listening. He's not forcing himself on us. He's not forcing his opinion on us. He's just there present, listening, waiting for us to come to him. And I think I didn't always have a great relationship with my son. It always felt forced. And I think what I'm learning in this whole season is finding out what drives him, what lights him up, and just being there for him and letting him do his thing and just smiling from behind is kind of what I'm trying to do and just be there with him. So I think presence and being there and being not distracted with your phone or with work, be fully present in the moment is a hard thing to master. And I'm slowly learning how to master that.
I hear you say these phrases, and this has been the hallmark of our relationship for the longest time. You'll say things that I'll just dwell on, this idea of smiling from behind, or I can't talk to you without like writing down a dozen things. And I hope for people that are like, have been listening or thinking about, okay, so what does this mean for me? Rather than just agreeing, hey, wow, I didn't know there's a really neat guy named Paul that helps run Twitter. on earth. But then I found out something new, like faith is actually a really important thing. And he's somehow struck a balance. So whatever it is that you're doing, however you're expressing your work days, that idea of hovering over your kids is where I wanted to land with this conversation, because I've seen you do such a good job. I've got three of our own and then people they're marrying or love. And so what I'm trying to do is just hover over each one and just to say, what do they uniquely need that only I could give them? Because if they need a ride somewhere, Uber could give them one of those. But if they need a conversation with somebody, what's up uniquely that I could do? And I can't get there if I'm just a generalist. I just say the family's great. I just want to pause over each of the kids and to say, my son, Adam, he's just been working so hard up at the Oaks. And so I said, hey, buddy, let me saddle up a couple horses and let's go for a ride and we'll wash the horses afterwards and all that. And so to just make some dedicated time to just spend together, that's what I'm thinking about you with your run and the smile from behind. And that feels like among the takeaways people can have, because work, sometimes the environment is beyond our control or it feels that way. Yet I've seen you apply a lot of your faith and your love and your respect for people in there. But then home, we can just say, hover over that person you said I do to, or the person you want to say I do to someday. Hover over them a little bit and say, what uniquely can only I give? A word, a phrase, touch knees, whatever it is, that you just go like, this is the right time and the right place. Paul, you are my teacher. I am your student. And most of all, I'm just so honored to be able to call you a friend. Brother, I love you. And I'm just so glad people get to meet you.
Love you too, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, the line that stuck out to me from their conversation was when Paul said this. He said it really simply, circumstances shouldn't define you. And then he had this list of questions. He repeated it a few times. Who am I? Why am I here? What do I believe? Those three questions are actually phenomenal questions. Questions that you, on one level, you might think, well, yeah, I understand implicitly who I am, why I'm here, what I believe. But what he's talking about is actually doing the work, as he talks about the rhythm of waking up and thinking and reflecting and writing every day. And really trying to answer those three questions. There's something about going through the process to think through your answers to those questions. In fact, I love it because it affirms the work that I do professionally all day long. I run this company with students and curriculum, and those are the three of the most significant questions that we're asking teenagers, high school, middle school, high school students, inviting them to get clear and find clarity on who they are, why they're here, and what they believe in. And in that deeper sense of foundation of who I am and where I come from and where I'm going, you actually can have the strength and the wherewithal to avoid distraction if you get clear on that. So what does it look like for you to start your day like that, or to end your day like that? To think and reflect, whether you're a writer, journal, pen and paper, or maybe you're kind of a speak to text kind of person, or maybe you love to talk it out loud with a friend, what would it look like for you to develop a rhythm and a habit of reflecting on answering those three questions? And I'll bet, just like we've experienced working with thousands and thousands of students and teachers and adults, you might think you have the answers, but it actually takes a little bit of time and energy and effort to figure out what you really believe and how you would respond, answer that question, who you are, and in response to the question, why are you here? So we leave that with you. That's your challenge for this week. Grab a pen, grab a paper, grab your laptop, grab a friend, and start working through those questions and find a way to be undistracted. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dream Big Podcast with Bob Goff and friends. All right, let's see if any of this sounds familiar to you. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of dragging through 5 days of work just to get to that weekend because you're feeling worn out. You feel like you're languishing. Maybe you've got a big dream, but you're feeling stuck and distracted by all the things going on in your life. Maybe you know deep down you're meant to live this spontaneous, joy-filled life, but you're just feeling stuck. And there's something about Bob. There's something about Bob and his life and how he thinks and what he does that you're drawn to. Well, you of course read his books, of course listen to the podcast, but we also have a special offer for you. It's called Bob Weekly. And it is what it is. It's Bob coming to you more than once a week with some specific teaching about how to live out your big dreams and taking the next step, about living a more spontaneous life, about getting to the do part of your faith. Maybe you're committed to personal growth and you want to live more alive. That's what this is. Short videos with some guided reflection questions, some structured conversations you can have with close friends. This is Bob at his best, guiding you to figure out what it looks like to live a life that you're meant to live. So Bob Weekly, all you got to do is go to the website, sign up. It's less than $9 a month. And Bob's going to be coming to you. He's going to come to wherever you are, your phone, your office, your car, and guide you to that life that you're meant to live. So check it out.